It's about what we carry. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. If you look at the earthen vessel, you can find fault. There's no doubt about it. But if you keep your eye on the treasure, you have to keep your eye on the word. Don't be hanging around critical people. Critical people will get you nowhere. You hang around critical people, you'll be critical. Don't receive words of accusation. Just keep your eye on the Lord. His word is pure. That's what we're following him. He's about to burst out. Everyone say, the blessing is in the water. We've been carrying this for what we consider a long time. God says, you hadn't even carried it for a day. He said, have you carried it 1,000? You know, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. It's like our 25 years to him. He goes, I've been an hour. You've been an hour in the vineyard. I said, an hour. I said, you should live in my shoes for an hour. Can you not pray 1 hour? Okay, so John 7, so much to say. It's like expanding now. Just, I'll tell you, if you want revelation, you have to keep his word. If you stay close to his word, revelation will flow. It's just the way it is. Amen. All right, John 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This whole book, he's like right in the middle, but the whole book of John, there's so many revelations in John. You can spend a lifetime culminating in the upper room. There's the revelations, but one of the main themes of John is he's revealing himself as the life, living waters. Chapter 4. Because I'll be a fountain bubbling up, satisfied you continuously. Chapter 7, here, out of your belly, flows rivers of living water. Chapter 6, the bread of life. Chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He's revealing self as the life. And here he's saying, he that believe on me, verse 38. That's a huge verse right there. He's not talking about being saved. He's talking about believing on him, the resurrection, believing on him, the life, believing on him, the bread of life, the living waters, the resurrection, the life. As the scripture had said, there's no actual scripture that actually says this, but says as the scripture says, but we're going to get into that scripture that does say it. Say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's not your natural belly. It's your spirit out of your inner man, out of your innermost being, out of Christ in you. Ultimately, rivers. It didn't say a river. It said rivers will come out of you. Those waters are defined by where you stand with him. You can have shallow waters flow out of you. We've seen moves of this. You can have different waters flow out of you. The waters that come out of you are determined by where you stand in him and with him and how and what you've identified those waters to be. Those waters have every aspect, every inheritance, every operation that he is. Everything he inherited is the pointed heir. Everything that he is are in those waters. What comes out of you, depending on where you stand in those inheritances, in those operations, what you understand them to be, where do you stand? What have you received? Your waters can be shallow. Your waters can be deep. But God has reserved some very special waters for the end times. His best waters. Or you can say it like this. He reserved the best wine for the last time. We are the vintage wine of the body of Christ. Before we go out, we get to display and demonstrate the glory of God in an unprecedented manner. The maturity, the glory of the early church were laying the foundations. They're all looking at this generation right now. They want to see what God has in store. You think he's just going to lift his church powerless out without the voice, out of the earth? Escapism? We're not here to escape. We will be lifted out by the rapture, but before we do, we're going to rule, reign, and display an aspect of God that the generations haven't seen. The world's not even impressed with the church right now. Evil is multiplying so fast out there, but they haven't seen, because what God's going to reveal, it's not going to fall on us. It's going to come out of us. God's going to release his end time treasure out of his people, and it's going to flow all over the earth. There's a generation that God himself said that the blessing will cover the whole earth. My glory will cover the earth. Literally cover the earth. Arise, shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. It's a resurrection thing. It's got to come from within. It's going to come out. The blessing that's in the waters. But we've seen some things in these waters unprecedented. We've been looking at these waters for a long time, but God's been seeding. The waters are kind of like the ground. You know, as he plants stuff in your waters. Listen, God doesn't do anything new unless it comes out of the water. That's just the way he does it. The earth came out of the water. The whole earth was covered in water. And he said, let there be light. And he called the earth out from the waters. It's amazing. Jesus himself baptized in the waters. Children of Israel had to go through the waters. The waters are a way that old things pass away and then all things come out new. The waters are a way we got to come in and go out. You go in one way, you come out another way. This generation, the body of Christ, needs a baptism. We got to baptize out from the old. And we got to come out with a new, but in those waters, there's newness. There's something new in there. The ability to let go and die, release into the waters for another day to come out. Amen. Go to Ezekiel 47. This fountain, if I describe it to you, it's starting to bubble up right now. I see it. Before you do that, go to John 14. The Lord was preparing his disciples for his departure. John 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, the world will see me no more. He's talking about his departure. But watch this. He said, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day. At what day? This is post-resurrection. When he ascended to the right hand of God, you're going to see me and you're going to know. Gnosko, that word is gnosko. It's a Greek word. You're going to intimately not just understand, but you're going to know. I'm going to show you. I'm going to send my spirit. He's going to show you where I am. He's going to give you the coordinates of the right hand of God. He's going to reveal this realm invisible to man. The world won't even see me anymore, but you will see me the same way, not in the natural. But I'll reveal where I am. I'll reveal who I am. He goes, and I'm going to reveal my Father. And said, you will gnosko, know that I am in my Father, and you are in me. You're going to understand what you've been looking at all these years with me, and the Father demonstrating his glory through me. We're about to invite you in to the Godhead. You're going to get invited in. To the union, you're not God, but you are in him. He's sharing his inheritance with you. He's sharing his operation with you. He's sharing his mysteries, his position in the Father. His position, he goes, I'm going to give you my position, my place. and you will see me. It's necessary to bring the kingdom out in this age. We're not going to get the job done in the gift realm age. The gift realm age is sustain the body of Christ. We have to come to fullness now. We have to see what God's doing. We have to see the realm of the invisible. We have to see what's in these waters. We have to see what God is up to. We have to see His purpose, His plan for our generation. We're not going to just walk around, well, one day He's going to fall on us. No, 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 no. This is not the generation that doesn't understand. We're in God's frequency. When it falls, we know why it came. We were participating in its arrival. Man, if we're just ones, well, when it falls, it falls. Oh, my goodness. No, you're a part of it. It's coming out of you. You know you're carrying it. It's a fountain bursting out. It's a living fountain inside. Answers for humanity are inside of God's people. There's a separation of you and God. You gotta do that. When you got a lot of junk in the trunk, God has to separate you out of the equation. The thing is about this generation, God wants to do something greater than any one of us. So how are we gonna get this great God in the earth when we got a bunch of stuff? That's why you go up. That's why you exchange. We don't ask for God according to who we are. We're never gonna get anything done. You know, most people pray, they pray out of fear. Or they pray out of endless wants. Or they pray out of unworthiness. Or they pray out of panic. Because something happened. Time to pray. You know, when something major happens, the church gets filled up. And then when there's a season, nothing happened, they all drift back out again. Then when something happens again, they all fill up again. 9/11, there were more people in the church after 9/11. Even the congressmen started talking about God. Listen, we don't want to pray like that. We don't even pray. I don't even pray in who I am. First thing I got to do is exchange. I already know I'm not going to get anywhere in my own stuff. I need to pray in Him. I need to be with Him. I need to be centered. I need to stand in His righteousness, be clothed in Him so it's like He's praying. So then I get all the inherited rights because I know God's going to answer His prayer. So whether I do pray in me or pray in Him, because I know God's going to answer the Lord's prayer. So if I get up into Him, He's going to answer my prayer because I'm in Him. Because He doesn't see me the way I see me. We got to change the way we're doing things. I mean, there was a time that we need to fill the altars and repent every day. There's a time for that, but that's not going to bring the glory. We have had more repentant services. And I'm not against repentance, trust me, I do it a lot. But that's not what's coming bringing the glory. It's a prerequisite, but it's not the key. But ultimately, what's going to be the glory? What's going to bring the glory? If you can believe on me. Understand who I am. Understand the union I have with my Father. Understand you, the union you have with me and the Father. And learn to stand in an unlimited inheritance. And understand what makes this work. Is you gotta get out of yourself. You're never gonna be good enough to stand in the presence of the Most High God. Not in your own works. Paul said, my righteousness is dung. And he kept the law perfect. Which one of you are going to do that? He did it perfectly. He goes, but I now have found that I can be found, say found, in Him. This is what he was saying. I'm going to go away, but you're going to see me. When I go away, you'll see me. I'm going to go away. The world won't see me, but you're going to see me. You're going to know. And here's what you're going to see. You're going to know that I'm in the Father. You're going to see this union and you're going to know that you're in us. And I'm going to show you how to dwell in us. And I'm going to show you how to get out of where you are into where I am. I'm going to show you how to make an exchange. So by the time you do ask the Father, you're standing in my name. You're standing with all my rights. You're standing with all my inheritance. You know who you are. You know who I am. You know how to receive. You'll understand you've been made worthy. He's going to teach you all these things. That's what he does. It's part of being in him. That's the beauty. Say, found in him. We have to live our life to be found. This generation is going to bring something out that not a single one of us in the natural are worthy for. But in him, we're all worthy. In him, he's calling us to bring it out. Ezekiel 47. I said all that so you see. You will see me. So the Lord's asking, what do you see? Well, I'm going to pray and get a prophetic word. Come on, man. Do you know how many prophetic words we already got? Jesus said, even Peter said, I'll give you a sure word of prophecy. I've already seen him in the resurrection. I've already seen him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I've seen him beyond your day. I saw him on a mountain that moved from early church to latter-day church. God moved that mountain past us. That mountain is still going. Because Peter saw a time where the Lord was glorified. Not just post-cross glorification. Saw him in his majestic glory, the returning king. In all his glory, Peter saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. How did he see him in this day? Because it was the mountain that was, the mountain that is, the mountain that is to come. The world can't see this, but you can see it. How do we see it? His word. Well, don't read the Bible. 5 minutes quiet time. Man, that word is meant to see. That word gives you access to a realm that's invisible to the world, but not to you. He makes it visible so you can lay hold and grasp it. What we're carrying invisible will be seen in this generation. But it's seen because you saw it. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Even his Godhead, eternal dunamis power, rolling out into the earth. Listen, when the Lord was multiplying and doing his miracles, they were seeing the manifestation of a living God. But the Lord was saying, listen, the works that I do, I only do what I've already seen. Say, seen. I'm seeing all this from another realm. I'm bringing all this from another realm. It's just not coming off of me because I'm the Son of God. It's coming off because I'm in union with my Father and I do what I see Him doing. The Father works. He worketh hitherto. What you see He's doing. It's doing because I see what He's doing. You don't see what He's doing? When Joshua went into the battle of Jericho, he said, see! I have given you Jericho. Showed him the whole battle. Stood in the seventh day in the prolongation of the ram's horns of the Jubilee. He saw the walls of Jericho fall. Before he started. The glory of our kingdom is when we get to see what God does before he does it. We get to see. Man, if we're blanked out. All the time we're just waiting on the next attack of the enemy. We're not seeing what God's doing. We have to see. Be ahead of the curve. We got a fountain on side of us. It's ready to burst. It's ready. Guys are well ready to burst out. We don't let go. We see. The more you keep it, the more you see it. The more you see it, the greater your faith. The greater your faith, the more is coming out. We're in the generation of the spout, the water spout. He turneth our rock, Psalms 114, into standing water. You know, when Moses, I'm going to get to the rock here in a minute. When Moses, Exodus 17, God tells him, he goes, now take that rod in your hand and go smite the rock. and he'll give forth his water. That was the type and shadow of Christ being crucified. We're going to smite the rock, because 1 Corinthians 10 says this. He says that rock that followed them in the wilderness, that's a big old rock. There wasn't no pebble following them around. I don't understand that, but the rock followed them around. God knows how to move mountains, by the way. He had a big old mountain rock following them around. They said that rock was Christ. And so when he said, he told Moses, smite that rock, and the water came out. It came out. It didn't feed 20 people. It didn't water 20 people. It watered 3 million plus people. That water just in the middle of a desert. I mean, what would you and I do? I mean, you're in the middle of a desert. Imagine if you're Moses. And you got all these people said, you lot is here. There is no water. Where are you going to get water? We have sent spies out. There's no fountains out there. There's no oasis. There's no water. It's your fault, Moses. And he goes to God, and God says, take that rod and go smite that rock over there. How would you like to actually have that instruction? I mean, great if something comes out, but you have to go do that in front of everybody. How'd you like those instructions from God? God doesn't deal with the head. He deals with the heart. I can imagine Moses. He just told me, I got to go smite the rock. And he said, there's actually water going to come out of a rock. I mean, that would be the very last place I would look for water, is a rock. Laws of physics, water does not come out of rocks. They did that one. Open them, fountain up. Next time, they're in Numbers 20. God tells him this time, he didn't tell him to smite the rock. He says, speak. Now it's time you're going to speak to the rock. Say, the rock is Christ. Where is Christ right now? Inside of you. Speak. Where? We're called to be peculiar. Oh, rock, stand up inside of me. You cleave the rock this day and give me drink from the great depths. He tells him to speak to the rock. Moses strikes it twice. He said, you're not going in. He goes, Christ is only struck once on the cross. That's why he couldn't go in. That right there, because he struck the rock, was a form of unbelief. He said, my son only needs to be struck once. It's going to be enough. The cross is going to be enough for all humanity. Now all we must do is speak. If you haven't learned to use your mouth yet, you're missing the greatest weapon you have ever had on the face of the earth. Your mouth is the greatest singular weapon of God has ever given you. I don't care how many weapons you see in the spirit, or how many times you go in the spirit, all the weaponry, shields and all that you can see, and all the diamonds and all the diadems. It doesn't matter how many crowns you got. If you don't know how to use your mouth, nothing's going to happen. Death and life and the power of the tongue. You have to speak. You got to use your mouth.
Well, I like to lay before the Lord.
You're not going to get very far laying before the Lord, I tell you right now. Your mouth is a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth to thresh the mountains and beat them small. Faith comes from the mouth. His word in your mouth. I set my word in your mouth. I cover you in the shadow of my wings, that you may plant the heavens into the earth. To say to the earth, the foundations of Zion come forth. You've been called to plant the heavens.
Well, I don't know how to do it. You put his word in your mouth and speak it. You'll get really good at it if you do it a lot. You'll get poetic. You can even rhyme.
Poetry of believing. Believing should be the number one thing on your agenda. Everything else you do should be secondary to your believing. What must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the singular work of God. Believe on me. It's a work. It's just not a work of the natural. It's not a sweat of the brow labor. It will take effort. But most of the time, once you get in the spirit, there's no effort. There are times, even this day, I have to get my motor running. I'll drag myself out there because we still wear flesh. I'll drag myself out there and I'm like, there's nothing in me wants to do this today. Do you think that I wake up because I'm a pastor or apostle or whatever you want to call me, that I feel like doing this? There are days I don't. We are called to speak an invisible kingdom into the earth. We are called to do something we can't do. I want to trade this, Lord. Just let Ishmael be, let him be the heir. No! Abraham, look at the stars of the heaven. Look at the sand of the seashore. These are your descendants. Call things that be not as though they were. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to do what I can do. And God said, no, I don't need people to do what they can do. I want to be God through you. We have to speak. We have to call things that be not as though they were from the invisible realm. It's a challenge. You don't know what you're made of till God calls you to faith. Everybody can exercise faith for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We're called to stand and call an invisible kingdom in the earth. And every day you wake up, you got to do the same thing over again. And again, and again, and again. How about carrying a treasure of the crown for years, not seeing anything? It never lets go. It's a word inside. It has to come to visibility in our generation. Amen. Ezekiel 47. Oh, this chapter of our generations, my friends. This is the ultimate prize. An end time river of God coming out into the earth. Greatest treasure of our generation. We're going to roll out and fill the earth. Father, stretch forth the curtains of our habitations to understand who we are, this generation, what you've put in us, what's inside of us. Christ, the resurrection. Christ, the life. Life that will swallow up death. Ezekiel 47, afterward he brought me again to the door of the house. Behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward. So you get this picture. The temple is facing eastward, right? So this is north. North is that way. South is that way. East, west. The temple's facing east. The waters broke out. Some of your translations will say the south side of the altar or the right hand. But they came out from underneath the temple. They came out of a stone. They came out of a rock. They came out of the rock. The rock that followed them around in the wilderness. The rock manifested. Turned a fountain. Turned into rushing waters. Out from your innermost being would flow living waters. The rock was Christ in you. The hope of glory. The glory it's hoping for is the resurrection. We're the generation to see it. The water's coming out of the right hand of God. Out of the right hand of the altar. Coming out from the right hand stone. Coming out from you. You're the temple. These waters coming out. They issue out. Small at first. The waters would issue out. These waters were like no other waters the planet has ever seen. Nothing the world has ever seen like these waters. The earth, the Dead Sea. There's fish in the Dead Sea. And the waters move out, it said. Past the ankles. This is also a form of baptism. And a maturing of the church. A church to come to full age as the waters would come to the knees, then to the loins, and then it got to the place where God wants some waters to swim in. Waters that have gone over our head. The full baptism. What did I say to you? God's not going to do anything until he brings it out of the water. His church is going through a baptism. It's going to come out in glory. And suddenly, as soon as Ezekiel went under the water, they started. He said, these waters, it says, moved to the Dead Sea. And it said, everything that was dead suddenly came to life. Every sickness, every disease, every broken bone, every maimed body, all of broken humanity suddenly were made whole. Suddenly, as soon as the waters touched broken humanity, didn't matter the depravity or the brokenness, wholeness, healing immediately. The greatest evangelism the world ever seen. They cast nets into the water and they're pulling out fish of every kind. And then trees of life begin to form out of the water. Say trees of life. And they said they had new fruit every month. You had a new anointing. How would you like to have a brand new anointing every month? Brand new life coming out of you. In other words, your life never wane. The life of the end time church will not wane. The life will roll out all the time, a continuous stream of life until we become trees. Do you want to eat from the trees? You want to become the tree. If you're the tree, you get to eat all the time because it's coming through you. Are you going to eat from the tree? I want to be the tree of life. I saw a tree come out, man, it went whoo, like it felt like 100 foot tall. I saw it encompassed this entire, its limbs encompassed this entire center. I mean, and then I saw all these people come starting to eat. Man, it was dropping fruit everywhere. And all these people were swarming the tree. The Bible says your fruit will not wither in this generation. Because all of this, and it says it right here in Ezekiel, it's because the waters issued out of the sanctuary in the first place, all this is happening. It's because the waters came out. You're a generation of living waters, a generation of a double fountain. But he also said something pretty amazing. And then, Zechariah 14, end time chapter. Talked about how these waters, half of them would go to the Great Sea. Half of them would go to the Dead Sea. There's two great waters coming out of us in this day. Waters of life. I want to tell you, they are multiplying exceedingly right now because the Lord is having us step into his mountain now. As soon as he showed me the Mount of Transfiguration was not a stationary mountain, he goes, that mountain is beyond your day. It started before you and its end is beyond you. You're in between. Think about it. I want you to see this part. When Peter, James, John, Moses, and Elijah are all on that mountain and the Lord was transfigurated, in other words, he entered into his own glorification. He didn't enter his own, he entered into yours too. His body was glorified. You were looking at what you're going to look like for eternity. That's what we're going to look like. That's our manifested reality right there. That's salvation that's revealed, the glory from within. It's going to be revealed in your body. It's going to be revealed in your mind. And you're going to walk around with eternal life emanating from you. That is your image, complete and restored. Your image is life for eternity. Once the day comes of resurrection and your body passes over, you will have eternal reservoir of life emanating from you, from your mind, from your soul, from your body, from your heart, from you. That's why in heaven, all they got to do is have a spontaneous breakout. Someone gets so overwhelmed with a life bursting out and they'll go, glory, and then somebody over there goes, glory, and somebody else will go, glory, and all of a sudden you got a glory show going on. And they do it all the time there. Everyone who goes to heaven says the same thing. Everybody's worshiping God all the time. They burst out with the glory of God. Because it's everywhere. Flowers are so full of the life, they look at you and sing. Everything is living there. There's nothing alive. There's nothing dead. Think about that. Life. Peter's looking at the glorified. So by the time he looks at him, Peter's talking about in his book. He's looking over there. And Peter's looking at the glorified king, the return. He goes, when made known unto you the second coming of the Lord. We were not telling you wives' fables. Notice what he said. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What's a prophecy? It's a spoken word, but it's something. It reveals something to come. He goes, we're not just revealing something to come. We have a sure word because we actually were there at his second coming. And he said this. He said, we were eyewitnesses of his second coming. We witnessed his return. So did Moses and Elijah. So if that mountain they were witnessing, and you got to see this, because this is where you're going to have the inherited right to step into it. That mountain is in front of us. That mountain is, we're looking for the day of that mountain, right? We're looking for the day of the resurrection. The day immediately calls up. It said in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, this body will suddenly glorify. When you deal with a body all the time, especially in a spirit, when you're a spiritual being that's got a high calling of God and you're dealing with the restraint of the flesh all the time. When I saw that, I said, oh, you mean I got to go over my body? He's right out there. Say, it's right out there. But for him to say in Romans 8, to him who was justified, say, that's me, to them were glorified. He had to have actually accomplished that for Paul to have said that. He couldn't have just said you were glorified because that day hadn't happened. But the day did happen because the Lord said, I am the resurrection. He called it. Remember we talked about that when he called it to raise Lazarus? He called that day. He said, I'm that day. I'll show you. Lazarus, come forth. But then he stepped into his own day while in the earth. To show you, you can do it too. I'm going to step into the day of resurrection. I'm going to step into a day beyond time. My Father's coming down to reveal who you are. To reveal your image. You're going to see who you are. Manifested sons and daughters of God. He stepped into his day. That means that day. This is what you have to see this. This is how we're going to obtain the life for our generation. That day, I was with him. The Bible says the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Before you were ever created, I knew you. You were in him. You were in him. Your body was in his. He was the body. His body. You're part of his body. Your body was resurrected that day. Legally. But that's what you step into. I can go step into that mountain with them. You know something about that mountain? The second that glorification started, everything about that mountain was not earthly, beyond time, beyond where any of them were, heavenly, spiritual. The invisible realm became visible. Everything about it was beyond flesh, beyond the natural, beyond time. Everything about it was extraordinary. God coming down, moving mankind through generations, standing in the second coming, letting Peter see it. Moses and Elijah there, the witnesses of the last days, they were standing there in the resurrection. He said it before that. You read the last part of chapter 16 of Matthew. He said, you know, there's be some standing here. You will not taste death till you see me in my second coming. He says, there are going to be some standing here among you today. You will not taste death till you see me in my second coming. Scholars did not know what to do with that. Then said 6 days later, the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John. He was prophesying to them. He says, you're going to see me before you die. You'll see me in the second coming that hadn't even happened yet. Hey, how about this, Father? There'd be some sitting among you today before you taste death. You will witness the second coming. But I don't need that because I already have been glorified with him. So as long as I got a word, I got an image, Mount of Transfiguration. You got a mind, you got imagination, light breaking out, light of the sun. What does that look like to you? Definitely doesn't look like death. Breaking out in his clothing, breaking out in his body. It says his countenance was shining like a sun. That was life revealing from within out. That's what's up inside you. That's the day. That's what has to be fulfilled in Isaiah. Rise, shine, thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is revealed. Say revealed. When I'm talking these living waters, that's what I'm looking at. Because when I ascend in the Lord, how am I going to go receive life? Which one of you are worthy of that in the natural? But in Christ, the reason I can obtain it, because he already said it's mine. Don't tell me something's mine and tell me I can't go after it. When he showed me the mountain, wait a minute. I'm wearing a body. It's got age working in it now. Some of you young people don't have to worry about that. But, you know, the later we get in life, I'm not going down laying on no hospital bed. I'll tell you right now. I am not living life with sickness or disease. Thus far, I'm staying pretty healthy since I've been doing Tree of Life. It used to be Tree of Life. Now it's Tree of Resurrection Power. And I go in, I'm me. I surrender. Then I go into his righteousness. Once I'm in him, I can receive anything now. I can stand in him. I have all inherited rights. And you know what I do? By faith, I go walk right up in that transfiguration mountain. I go stand right up in there with him, and I start claiming body roll this day. You know my greatest enemy is not the devil. It's the law of sin and death I inherited from Adam. The devil has no power without that law. The whole earth was corrupted because of that law. I'm at war with that law because it still tries to work in the body. It still tries to work in the soul. But I can take it down in the Jordan and sever those ties. Acts of light coming down. Now, my new man, I want to walk up into the life. I want to carry my body and I want to decree, oh, sin, you have no place in me. This day, oh body, you're swallowed up in the victory. To whom he did justify, he has glorified this day. In heaven, I'm already glorified. In heaven, I've got a new body. In heaven, I'm already brand new. Newness, I got news for you. There are no old people in heaven. There's nobody walking around on a cane. I don't care how old you are. When you walk into glory, your body rolls back into the time of life. They may look and resemble, but they're all around their 30s in heaven. Short people, tall people, they're all the same level there. But anyway, all I know is I want life. I want some of that. He said, thy will, pray like this, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And I don't want to be sick. I want more than not to be sick. I want life. You came that I might have life and life more abundantly. He done weighed the stake in front of me. He told me I could have it. He told me I was already glorified. I was with him in the day. So when I go in there, every time I do it, it gets more and more real. That's the way the word works. In the beginning, I felt like a fool. I'm like, what am I doing trying to walk up into a mountain that's not even, but it is real. It's still there. He returned in that mountain. Peter saw him in his second coming. I want to step up into that mountain. I want to be clothed in life. Because the more I do it, there is a day. People who don't believe, when the glory starts showing up, manifested glory, every single person in the vicinity of that life will be instantaneously healed. Because that life is more powerful than anything in this generation. That life will override death in a moment's time. It'll override sickness, infirmity. It'll override generational iniquity in a moment's time. It's transformational. And I'm looking at it. And that's what he said. He that believeth upon me, up from your innermost being can flow this kind of life. You know why people don't go after it? They can't see it. You know why they can't see it? Because they're covered over. They can't see the treasure of what's up inside of us. We keep his word. It'll get so magnified. The life keeps expanding. I keep seeing more and more. It's the treasure of our generation. It's the treasure of our generation. It's what everybody needs. They don't know they need it, but it's what they need. We're living in a culture of death. You think there's not going to be any more? I don't care if it's man-made or not. It's still coming. There's evil at work in the earth. We have to get ahead of it. David knew it. 1,000 may fall at my right side, 10,000 miles, if it will not come nigh me. There is a position you get with dominion with God that you command the earth to obey you. You command the body to come in alignment. Roll body into the time of life. Sickness, infirmity, you should not be seen. We are called to stamp out the law of sin and death, not put up with it. You're more. We are all more than who we presently are. We're more in Him. This is not a self-help seminar to stir your soul up for more good works. It's a self-death seminar. Die to that man. Go under the waters. Come out in Christ. He said, ascend. Acknowledge. Identify. Ascend. Identify who he is. What you have. Acknowledge it. Receive it. Descend. Decree and release it. Ascend. Identify. Say, I'm identifying the life right now. There was a day I was identifying the righteousness. I learned to exchange. And he told me this last week. He said, it's the same thing. He said, you know how to exchange in righteousness with me. Identify. He said, exchange in the life. Do you want your life or do you want his resurrection life? I'll gladly lay down and step on into his. Because I am telling you, there is a day, mark my words, the life will manifest visibly in our temple. The visible manifestation of the glory of God. And you're going to know why. It happened. You're going to know how it happened. You want to know why it's here, what its purpose is, for the generation to declare the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And his glory is going to be on us, with us, and it's going to be seen. Now, our prayer is not just to receive, Tina. Our prayer now is to decree the invisible things we're carrying. It's not enough to carry the kingdom anymore. We got to get an invisibility now. The invisible thing be made visible. That's our decree. We won't let go till the invisible thing starts showing up. When this river starts showing up, house of David's in it and the life's in it. Those are the two great things we're carrying in this generation. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. I promise you, you learn this life. It gets gooder and gooder. It's good. You won't see it if you're living under a hood. You got to get in the open heaven. You got to keep it. Stay with him. You'll see it. If you see it, you can have it. If you don't see it, you can't have it. That's the thing. You have to see the invisible. What are you looking at? Your neighbor said, what do you see? Let's give God glory. Come on, church. We're not going to let go. Have we quit recently? We're not going to quit. Why? Because it's working in as we see it. I know the mystery. I don't have to be perfect. I just need to know how to exchange. Praise God.
One moment spent before me in communion will yield more freedom than you will manage to manufacture on your own strength in decades. Self-help equals delay. Self-help equals the unbelief that I can and will work on your behalf. Self-help equals a theft of your true potential. I created you. Why would I not then hold your answer? Doing things on your own landed you in the place you are seeking to escape. Do not let pride steal your inheritance. Let not fear paralyze you in remaining in the comfortable. There is no need to circle the same mountain again and again, for I am the mountain mover. You are a mountain mover. but you have allowed the enemy to blind you to your abilities and true nature. Wake up. Dust off your mantle and begin to walk with the authority I have given you. You choose life or death, victory or defeat, bondage or freedom. You know what I desire for you. Want that as much for yourself, and we can decimate those mountains together.
Now, she got that before the service. God confirming this word. He wants us to listen up. Like Tina was saying, listen, God called you here. God called you here. He wants to put a compass inside of you. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, listen, the compass inside of you is more important than anything, because today you're going to wake up and it's all over. It's what are you after? I was going to be a nice person, go to heaven. And then God to show you, you had living waters up inside of you. It's your compass. We are here to fill your compass with a 100-fold target. You may not hit the 100-fold. Man, what if you hit 30? You know what a 30-fold looks like in the kingdom of God? 40, 50, one-fold. Jesus was 100-fold glory walking in the earth. Man, I'll aim high. If I can hit 90, hallelujah. Praise God. I done got me an A. 89 B plus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Here is the one that's going to override it all, the life. The Lord said, you obtain my life. There's nothing like it anywhere on your planet. It will restructure, override all dysfunction. It'll override every weakness, every infirmity. Death itself can't stand to it. If you obtain it with your faith, this is what Paul wanting to obtain it. If you obtain the life with your faith, everything else will bow down to the life. He goes, you will move so many unnecessary battles in your life just by obtaining the life of Christ. He goes, go after the life. Obtain the life. It's a prize.